Chumash Tovos. Now again, it's always a good idea to have a Chumash in front of you. Here I have one Chumash if you want to take.
Thank you.
Here's another three Chumashim.
Is this your copy? The Meshach Chokmah you have here on the table?
No, that's the Yeshiva's copy, the Amic Learning Center. Yeah, please, use it tonight. And if you want to make notes, I have a photocopy for you,
here,
so you can write on the...
Here's the
copy. Whatever works for you. And I hope you'll find your phone soon. Okay. Now you remember that the Torah records that Yitzchak and Rivka were childless. And the Torah describes the tefillah, the prayers of Yitzchak. So we'll open up the Chumash. Because again, in this particular printing, he doesn't have the Chumash. I don't know, again, I'd love to write a letter to the editor, just that he's gone already. But, so it says the following. And again, I apologize if my voice is a little bit weak. And it says the following. What page is this on? Let's see. Page 124, which is actually the third verse in chapter in Parshas Toldos. So it says the following. I'll read it to you in English. Isaac entreated Hashem opposite his wife. And, you know, the translation or the verse itself is a little bit choppy. What do you mean, opposite his wife? And then it says, because she was barren. But,
where are you reading?
On page 124. Oh. You have it? 124? You'll see the English on the left side. So you're looking at verse number 21. Do you see it?
I think I found it.
Well, you're on... Yeah. Are you on the right side? Okay, good.
Yeah,
you found it? Yeah, I just want to show it to you in English. You can see it in Hebrew, that's even better. Now, Rashi says that Lenochach Ishto, which means opposite his wife, means that the Torah wants to indicate that they were standing on two sides of the room, and he, Yitzchak, was praying on his side. She, Rivka, was standing and praying on her side. That's how Rashi understands it. However, the Rashbam, which is a commentary on the Torah written by one of Rashi's descendants, he says that Lenochach Ishto means Bishvil Ishto, for the sake of his wife.
Yes, I've never heard it saying opposite.
Right, instead of opposite, which Rashi understood is that they're opposite each other on two sides of a room, the Rashbam says that the word lenochach means for the sake of his wife. And the Meshech Chachma is bothered by this. What do you mean for the sake of his wife? Yitzchak doesn't have children. Why is he praying for the sake of his wife and not for his own sake? Do you hear the problem? In order to understand this, to solve this problem, the Meshech Chachma offers a whole picture here. He says the following, that back in Parshas Lech Lecha, or is this Parshas Vayera? Let me just see. Yud Zayin is already Vayera, I think. Let me just see. No, it's in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem promises Avram a child, and he says, to Avram Avinu, you will call that child by the name of Yitzchak, and I will fulfill, God says, my covenant with Yitzchak, or through Yitzchak. And then it says, Lizaro Acharav, and with his children after him. So what does that mean? What's a given? What do we know based on this prophecy of Avram Avinu? No one's following.
What do we know based on which one?
What can you derive as a logical conclusion from the fact that God promises Abraham that he'll have a son, Yitzchak, and Yitzchak will have Zerah afterwards? What does that mean by definition?
Well, that means that Rebecca's going to have children.
No. It means that Yitzchak is going to have children.
Okay.
Now,
well,
if Yitzchak...
Well, her for a wife.
Right. Now, if Yitzchak is going to have children, then Lechora Or is correct. Then Rivka is going to have children. Says Remeir Simcha, the Meshach Chachma, no. Yitachen, it's possible, Sheolid Me'isha Cheretz. Then Yitzchak will marry another woman.
Oh, like Avram and Hagar.
Correct, and he'll have children from the other woman and not necessarily from Rivka. So as far as Yitzchak is concerned, he's very calm. He's not nervous. On a selfish level, I mean to say that he will father children because God already gave a Nevuah prophecy.
If he's dominating for Rivka, that means he wants him to be through her.
Exactly. So you could have written the text. He says, "Lachen is palel, kimo de isa b'medrash, shekol ma sheyolid yelo mitzadekes halos." That any children that he will have, should be with this tzadekes, with this saintly woman, meaning Rivka. So far, everything seems to fit into place. Let's just review. Yitzchak has no question about his fathering children. That already is included in the prophecy and the promise of the divine being to Avram. But he's nervous. How does he know? There's no guarantee that Rivka will be the mother of those children. So that's what the Rashbam is telling us. Linochach Ishto, that he prays on behalf of his wife, that she should be the mother of these children. Now Rabbi Simcha asks a question on himself. Yitzchak in Perek Chavav, what Perek are we up to now? We're in Perek Chavhei. So if you fast forward by one chapter, there's going to be a famine in the land, and Yitzchak is going to end up in a city called Gerar. And in the city of Gerar, he takes Rivka down to the king of that area. And he tells Rivka, this is in verse number 7 on page 128, if you want to see it, that when the people ask you who you are, tell them that you're my sister. And we've seen this already back in the time of Avram. Ki arei lemar ishti, because Yitzchak is afraid to reveal that she is his wife, pen yarguni, because the locals might kill me because of Rivka. They want to take Rivka, so they're going to knock me off if they think I'm the husband of Rivka. But if I'm only the brother of Rivka, they'll let me go. So now Rav Meir Simcha has a problem, because God has already promised Yitzchak through Avram that he will be the father of many children.
They're not going to knock him off.
So they can't knock him off. There's no way they can do so. So why does he say that, what's the language again? Pen Yarguni. What's the Pen Yarguni? You know, to the same extent that he was absolutely calm about the fact that he would have children, he should be calm about the fact that they couldn't kill him. So the answer is that something very important happens between Perek Chaf Hei and Perek Chaf Vav. We're missing a major chunk. And that is that God responds to Yitzchak's prayers and Rivka gets pregnant. And she has two. She has twins. So that even if Yitzchak would die,
he still had children.
Correct, and those children would have children.
And that's why I was worried about being knocked off.
Exactly. Because the divine promise would be fulfilled once Yitzchak already has children. Kevan Shaholin Abanim Yore Lemar Ishti Penyar Guni Ki Avtochi Cholis Kai Bizarro. Now the divine promise could be fulfilled through the children of Yitzchak. But now, Rabbi Simcha asks another question. Let's turn back the clock to Avram and Avimelech. Avram and Avimelech had a very similar experience to what we see here in the case of Yitzchak. Avram is afraid that maybe they'll kill me because of my wife Sarah, who's so beautiful. Variguni al dvar ishti. So Avram Avinu is afraid of being killed. Now, that particular scenario takes place before the birth of Yitzchak.
So what's his problem?
What's his problem? Why should he be afraid that Avimelech is going to knock him off if he has the divine guarantee that he is going to be the scion, you know, the grandparent of generations to come? So we really have a problem. You know, Rabbi Simcha is really caught in the bind over here, because Bishleim, I understand that Yitzchak's not afraid of being knocked off, is afraid of being knocked off because he already fathered two children. But in the case of Avram, this parsha with Avimelech takes place way before the birth of Yitzchak. So why is he afraid of being killed? Now at this point, enter stage Rav Meir Simcha in his glorious greatness. And if you don't think I'm excited about this, then you're absolutely wrong. I am very excited about this. Says Rav Meir Simcha, the Rambam addresses the following question. When God promises something, is that promise guaranteed, or is it possible that God could change his mind? So the Rambam says that if it's nevuah, if God gives prophecy and the promise is part of a prophecy, if that prophecy is letova, meaning it's a good prophecy as opposed to destruction, then it's guaranteed and it's irreversible.
But Avraham didn't know that?
Oh. Let's go slowly. So now Avram receives a prophecy, Litova, and according to the Rambam, that's irreversible. So why is Avram afraid that he might get killed before he fathers Yitzchak? Says Rav Meir Simcha, when God communicates with man, there are two modes of communication, two categories. One is nevuah, and one is a personal, so to speak, discussion between the Almighty and an individual. It's not nevuah. Nevuah, by definition, says the Rambam, is when God not only reveals himself with a message, but he asks that Navi, the prophet, to transmit the message. Once the message is transmitted, because the Navi, the prophet, was commissioned to transmit the message, then it's irreversible. Says Rav Meir Simcha, what is the nature of the words V'karoso eshmo Yitzchak v'kimosi esbrisi ito lezaro achro, back in Parshas Lech Lecha? When God tells Avram Avinu that he's going to have a son Yitzchak, and from his son Yitzchak he's going to have generations, How do you categorize that? Is that nevuah, or is that a personal discussion between God and Avraham Avinu? If it's nevuah, then it's irreversible. But if it's a personal communication, then it's reversible.
Well, it was a personal communication.
Oh, so Rav Meir Simcha says, it depends. Initially, at stage one, it was a personal communication. But once Avraham Avinu transmits it to Yitzchak, it gets transformed to the getter of Nevuah. It becomes prophecy.
So for Yitzchak it was irreversible, but for Avraham it wasn't.
Correct. So that's why Avraham Avinu, again, it took me hours to figure this out, so you know, you're getting it on the tip of the eye, you know, the tip of the fork. But when Avraham received this transmission, it was reversible. Let's look at it inside. He says that the Rambam in two places, he tells you where to look up the Rambam, that's not for us right now. He says that Masha Nemar al pi Navi, Eini Yachol Ishtados, it can't be reversed. But that's Rak. There is an exception to that rule. And when is it reversible? Im Nomar le Navi Atzmo, if it's said to a Navi al Atzmo, only for himself. And that's if he tells the Navi something about himself, Yachol Ishtanos, because that's a personal Nevuah. If Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I want to tell you about something about your future, that's reversible, because that's not Nevuah. Shelo yeyeh mizeh hakchosh ledivrei ha-Navi. Okay, now this line, if you can underline it, has deep layers and layers of meaning, which I'm going to try to explain. There's a footnote here, number 4, but I think, honestly, he missed the point. That's all. I mean, who am I to? He says the following. With regard to Avram himself, Avram says, Avol sara ishtecha yoledes ben, that you will marry, well, you're married to Sarah, and she will give birth to a son. Yachol ishtanos. That could change, because that's, again, a personal communication. Lenovi atzmo al atzmo, for the Navi himself. Aval Avram shomer li Yitzchak, when Avram transmits this message to Yitzchak, then Yitzchak will be the father of generations. That's already nemar mipi Navi. That's already being transmitted through the mouth of a Navi. The eno yochol ishtanos. So therefore, Yitzchak has, you know, he's in the driver's seat. He's very comfortable. He's laid back. He knows that this is an absolute promise that he will father children. And the problem that Yitzchak faces is that once he fathers children, the promise is no longer guaranteed that he won't be knocked off, because once he has children, then this promise, the divine promise, could be fulfilled. Now, let's go back to the words that I skipped. Shelo yeh mizeh hakchosh ledivrei ha-Navi. Try to explain what he means. The Torah commands us to listen to a Navi. That's called Elav Tishma'un. Listen to the Navi. How do I know he's a true prophet? We've had many false prophets. Tanakh is full of them. There's got to be a litmus test.
If his prophecies don't come to pass.
Exactly. And that is the principle that a nevuah letova eini yochel ishtanos. That if God gives to a Navi a prophecy for the good, then it must come to fulfillment. If it doesn't come to fruition, then what do we know about this Navi?
He's
a false prophet. Now, says Rav Meir Simcha, that only applies when the Nevuah is being transmitted to others. Now, others have to know, do we rely on this Nevuah to believe it, accept it? Is it coming from the mouth of a true, genuine Navi, or is it not? So now for the Nevuah to be a Nevuah, it has to be, by definition, Eino Yochel Ishtanos, it's irreversible. Because if it would be reversible, that would undermine the whole enterprise of Nevuah. The enterprise of Nevuah, the fact that we believe a Navi, and we establish him to be a true Navi, is predicated on the fact that Eino Yochel Ishtanos, that his Nevuah L'tova is irreversible. When God says to Abraham, you'll be married to Sarah and you'll have a son from Sarah, that's a personal communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram. There's no mitzvah of Elav Tishmu, and therefore Yochel Ishtanos. So Avram is petrified when he steps into Avimelech's territory, that if Sarah, if he doesn't lie about Sarah, his head will be knocked off. In the case of Yitzchak, it's a whole different story. Yitzchak knows absolutely that he's going to father children. He doesn't have to pray to God on behalf of himself. He's guaranteed that he's going to father children. He only has to pray on behalf of whom? Of Rivka. Why is he guaranteed? Because the Nevuah of Avram Avinu was transmitted to Yitzchak. And once it's transmitted to Yitzchak, the essence and the character of that Nevuah is upgraded to the level of Elav Tishmud, that you have to listen to the words of a Navi. And that mitzvah, that you have to listen to the words of a Navi, could only be meaningful if it's Eino Yochel Ishtanos. So when God says to Avram that he's going to be the father of children, Avram Avinu is afraid that maybe God will change his mind at some point, because that's not the Geter Nevuah with the mitzvah of Elav Tishmud. That, in the language of Rameir Simcha, is Mashenemar Lenovi Atzmo Al Atzmo. It's being said to the Navi himself, for the Navi, to know about himself. And that's not Nevuah, which is transmitted to the people. And therefore it doesn't need that test of Elav Tishmun, because we're going to test out the Navi and make sure that everything that he prophesies is going to come to fruition. And that's what the Rabbeir Simcha adds here, these six words, Shalo yeh mizeh hakchosh ledivrei Navi. Murray, you want to follow the text inside, you need these pages. That's the previous class.
Okay, these pages?
Yeah. Okay. Now, Murray, I'm telling you right now, I'm in a bind here, because you're telling me that you want to learn Meshech Chochma and you could only come at 8:30.
I know, I got late.
No, you don't have to apologize. I'm just pointing out to you that there's at least one other member of this class who will right now be anonymous, who says that 8:30 is very rough for him and he wants to learn Meshech Chochma. So I'm in a bind here.
When does he want to?
At 7:30.
I'll come at 7:30 if you want to learn Meshech Chochma at 7:30.
Great. So it's settled.
7:30 next week.
I'm making an announcement from now until doomsday.
7:30 next week. Well, I said
it's Elav Tishmun and Eino Yochel Ishtanos.
I told you I'll come whenever you're going to teach Meshech Chochma, whether it be 7:30 or 8:30. Okay. I just didn't want to come at 8:30 when you're not teaching Meshech Chochma.
Okay, great.
So
excellent.
7:30 next week.
Okay, next week, 7:30 Meshech Chochma.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Kiakara. We're on the second paragraph. What's the next word in the Torah? Kiakara. What's the next word? He. Well, I have a chumash in front of me, and that's not what it says. It says Kiakara who? With a vav, not with a yud.
It's red.
So this bothers the mind of Rameir Simcha. The Torah should have said Kiakara he. So in order to answer this question, Rameir Simcha pulls a mathematical, fantastical cheshbon, a calculation in front of our eyes.
Rashi doesn't say anything about that?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Here I have the chumash. Maybe, is there an extra chumash? If not, take my chumash.
No, you can use this one. I'm going to.
Or if no one's leaving that. Okay? He says the following. Chazal tell us in a sefer called Seder Olam Rabba. Anyway, we don't have to get into that, because Rashi quotes it in his Pirush HaTorah, that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka and she was 3 years old. That's what I call robbing the cradle. Mm-hmm. Now, how old was Yitzchak when Rivka gave birth to Yaakov and Esau?
60.
That's explicit in the Torah. Now, if Yitzchak married Rivka when she was 3 and he was 37, how old was Rivka, therefore, when she gave birth to Yaakov and Esau?
I thought he was 40 when he married her.
I'm sorry.
37 was the
Akedah. Akedah, yeah, I'm sorry. So I'm not feeling so well. So again, Yitzchak is 40, and there's a 37-year-old difference in age between him and her. Now, fast forward by 20 years, and Yaakov and Esau are born. So now let's add 20 years to Rivka's life, to the age of 3 when she was married. So how old is Rivka when she gives birth to Yaakov and Esau?
23.
That's Hakofa Aleph. Now we get to Hakofa Beis. The Gemara establishes in 2 different places, in Masechta Yevamos and in Masechta Ksubos, that a woman is incapable of giving birth for the first 13 years of her life. So now, how many years was Rivka Nakara? If she gave birth at the age of... Wait, let me just get it. Give me a minute, I'm very slow at math. If she gave birth at the age of 23, is that correct?
According to this, yes.
And we're going to subtract 13 years from 23.
So she was in Akara for 10 years.
So she was in Akara for 10 years. So he says...
she gave birth at 23, so that means that she would have been...
I'm sorry.
9 years, because, you know, she had to have a pregnancy.
Okay, wait. Just give me a second. I'm sorry, Aura. I'm not feeling so well. Just give me a minute here. The Gemara says in 2 places that a woman cannot give birth for the first 11 years of her life. What did I say to you before? 13. I said 13. My mistake.
Okay.
So which one is it?
It's 11.
11.
So now, she's 23 when she gives birth. So how long was she barren? You're going to have to subtract from the number 23, 12. 11 years.
12.
Oh, 12. So Rav Meir Simcha wants to claim that the reason why the Torah says he with a vav is because the numerical value of the name he is 12. Let's see if that's correct. He with a vav, I mean to say who.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So you have a 5 and 6 is 11. You add the aleph at the end is 12. Akara he means that she was an akara for 12 years. Why? Because for 11 years no woman is able to give birth. Add the 11 years to 12 years and she's barren until she gives birth at the age of 23. Now what boggles my mind about this are 2 things. First of all, the amazing calculation here for Meir Simcha. But secondly, and this is a chiddush to me, that there are deeper meanings in a word based on its numerical value. I mean, that's called gematria, but I didn't know that Rav Meir Simcha, who's a Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva, you know, in the city of Dagapolts, as they call it today, Dvinsk back in our day, was into gematrios. Okay. Now Rivka gets pregnant, and she's very upset, because Vayisrot Sabana Bekirba, and the twins are fighting, and she doesn't know what's going on. So God comes to calm her down.
Are you moving on to the second piece?
Yes, you have to flip it around.
Just one comment.
Please.
Just in terms of how this plays out with the Akedah, in other words, there's the assumption of this piece is that you have the Nevuah that Yitzchak is going to be your child, that essentially that kind of changes the equation, that you don't... You're sure that things are going to go the right way. In other words, you're making a distinction between what's really a nevuah or what's told to you more privately, but either way, we're dealing with this piece kind of like highlights the idea that if you're told by Hashem that you have a sense that that's going to come true. How does that play out with the Akeda, in other words?
Because, again, the Akeda was before he married Rivka.
Right. So we would answer that the Akeda also, Avram does not believe that there's any guarantee that this child, that this
boy... Well, I would say it a little differently, that the transmission of the Nevuah was only when he married Rivka.
Right, okay.
Because at the point of the Akeda, Yitzchak was not married. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to come and calm Yitzchak down about the children that he would have. Now you could ask the following question. How did Avraham Avinu assume that he would actually slaughter Yitzchak if Avraham Avinu knew? So the answer is because at that point it was only Beino Levein
Atzmo. Right, that's what I'm pointing out, that you can answer that. But even with that, in other words, he is highlighting the fact that he does receive we don't call it prophecy, I guess, because it's not Nevuah yet. Right. But he does receive a clear message from Hashem that this child is going to be...
Right. And now Hashem is telling him, forget about that original message. I'm telling you to slaughter your son. Right.
And that's, I don't know, to me that's... Just,
like, for example, you remember Rashi says that Avram was knighted the man of faith. Why? Because he didn't even question God. God had already promised him, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarl Chazorah, and Avram doesn't ask any questions.
But that's what I was going to say. I looked on that as pure emunah. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I have a question about this.
Correct.
You know, instead of that, he simply went out.
But that's only because it's not Begetter Nevuah.
One way or the other would work out. I think that's the message of the whole idea. Can I say one just quick thing? Question. I thought it was machloket about the age of Rivka. That not everyone agrees that she was 3. Am I correct about that? Or?
Yes, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. You take a look at footnote number 2, and you'll see the source for that.
Okay.
So what does God say to Rivka to calm her down? He says, quote, Shnei goyim bebitnech. And Chazal tell us, who are these two goyim? Rashi quotes it in a Masechta Avodah Zarah. It's Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus is going to come from Esav, and Rebbe from Yaakov. Now, let's keep in mind that God is coming to calm Rivka down. So what's he telling Rivka? That ultimately from one of the children you'll have Antoninus, and from the other you'll have Rebbe. How is that meant to achieve the goal? She came forward and she said, Lama Zanochi, meaning that she was suffering terrible pains during her pregnancy. What is God saying here? That there's Antoninus and there is Rebbe. How is that meant to calm her down about the fact that she's suffering so terribly during this pregnancy? Says Rav Meir Simcha that Rivka compared herself to Sarah and she didn't understand what was going on. The whole process of the Avos and the Imos is a process which Rav Meir Simcha calls Birur. What does Birur mean? Birur means selection. Now, in the first generation, Avram and Sarah, God will select Yitzchak and reject Yishmael, correct?
Yes.
Sarah is not the mother of twins. The mother of Yishmael is Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
So Rivka, in comparing herself to Sarah, thinks that she too, like Sarah, will be the mother of the good guy, and some other woman, not her, she doesn't want to be the mother
of the bad one,
of Esav in this case. And in effect, what she is saying in her mind when she says, Lama Zanochi, is Lama Anochi Shonami Sarah. Why am I different than Sarah? Sarah didn't have to go through this horrendous experience of giving birth to Yishmael. Why do I have to go through this horrendous experience of giving birth to Esau? The Sara Bira Chelek HaTov. You know, with regard to the selection process in Sara's case, she took the Chelek HaTov. Mm-hmm. Who took the Chelek HaRa? That was Hagar. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that Ad Yaakov Inu Lo Poska Zuama. That there's always, until Yaakov becomes Mitoso Shleim and he's perfect with the 12 Shvatim, there's always going to be a bad apple in the bunch. But that bad apple is going to be from another woman, not from the Imahals. So Rivka thinks that she's getting sort of, what's the word I want to use? A bad slice. What's the word, what's the phrase? She's getting a bad deal here. A
raw deal.
A raw deal. Kevan Sherasa Shabbanim Misrotzitzim. And she sees that when she passes a church, right, or a temple, so Esav is trying to get out, she realizes now that she's carrying not just the Tzad HaTov, but also the Tzad HaRa. Again, nobody said this until Rav Meir Simcha. I mean, the originality is mind-boggling. So, Lama Zeh Anochi, Shalo Kederech Sarah. In Yiddish we say, Vos bin ich schuldig. Why am I guilty? Why do I have to suffer this whole process when Rivka already had the birur done for, and when Sarah had the birur done? She didn't have to bring the Tzad HaRa.
Why would she assume she's going to follow the same as Sarah?
She aspires for that. Okay? I mean, he doesn't say she assumes, but, you know, why do I have to go through all this suffering? I mean, in the case of Sarah, she had a pregnancy, she gave birth to Yitzchak, everything was smooth. Do I, Rivka, want to be the vehicle of bringing an Esav into the world? Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe she could do tshuva and do rectification. Why is it that Hashem wants me, Rivka, to be the vehicle to bring an Esav into the world? But that's his pshat in Lama Zeh Anochi.
I understand the taina that she's frustrated that that's what she has. I don't understand, is the Meshech Chachma saying that she's looking at Sarah's life and trying to understand why hers is different? That part I don't understand.
Okay, you have a right to not understand.
No, but the Meshech Chachma is saying that. In other words,
he's touching up Lama Zeh Anochi. Why am I Shalo Kederech Sarah?
Right, why am I not like Sarah? That part I don't really...
Okay, fine. Again, you know, I'm just presenting
Rabbi Simcha. No, I'm just trying to...
Again, what's the goal here? The goal is to understand Rashi, who says that Shnei Goyim Bevitnech is going to calm down Rivka. Why? Because from these two children, she's going to get Antoninus and Rebbe. Heshivu La, what was the answer that Rivka received? Shnei Goyim, Ze Antoninus. And what does that mean? Now here you have to look at footnote number 8. Which is based on a Gemara about Antoninus in Avodah Zarah. Shahaya, who is this Antoninus? Shahaya ben Tzadiki Umos Olam. Again, here's a descendant of Esav, and he's from the Tzadiki Umos Olam. It's like it reminds me of the Gemara in Gittin that says, Mi Bnei Barim Shel Haman, you know, they're teaching Torah in Bnei Brak. Mm-hmm. So next time you're in Bnei Brak, check out if you can find the descendants of Haman.
They won't admit it.
So he says the following. Marbim Chazal, there's a lot of material in Chazal. Al Yachasav HaTovim Im Rebbe. That this was a Roman leader who had a tremendously positive relationship with Rebbe. They work together on behalf of the Jewish people. Hare, I'm going back to the Ramesh HaChachma on the left column. Oh, you don't have this photocopy that I have. Sorry. Hare Shebechelek HaRa Shalach Me'urbav Gamatov V'lachein Heim Shneima Bibitne.
I have this actually. So if you're gone, I have this.
So again, what God is telling Rivka, is that don't think that you are going to give birth to pure evil. You are going to be the mother of greatness. How is she the mother of greatness through Esav? I mean, I understand through Yaakov. And the answer is because Esav is the great-great-grandfather of Antoninus, and that's greatness. That's the Tzad HaTov. So why are you suffering so much and having to give birth to not only Yaakov but also an Esav, the answer is because Esav has a tzara tov. If you've ever been to Yad Vashem, you may have seen that they have a section there called the Chassidei Umas HaOlam. It's a beautiful, there's so many gorgeous stories about the Chassidei Umas HaOlam. Again, unfortunately, the numbers were very, you know, relative to...
Too small.
But whatever it is, that's what it is.
But
those are descendants of Esav that have the Tzara Tov.
But to get Tamtaminus, you have to wait, what, about 2,000 years? So,
I don't know. I didn't make the calculation. I think Art School somewhere has a timeline that goes through.
It's clearly a very, very, very long time and many, many generations.
But again, motherhood here is not motherhood of Ra. It's Ra Sheyesh Bo Tov.
But it's 98% Ra.
Again, you decide whether you like Rav Meir Simcha. Again, you know, it's very easy to sit back and say, okay, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, which Rashi identifies with Antoninus, and say, I don't accept Rav Meir Simcha. That's your right. I'm not here to convince you that Rav Meir Simcha is right. That's up to you. You can sit back and you can criticize Rav Meir Simcha. I sit back and I enjoy the beauty of Rav Meir Simcha.
I wasn't criticizing, I was just commenting that it will take...
That's the difference between me and you.
It will take a very long time.
I'm not saying, Rav Osai, you can write a letter to the editor and send a letter to Rav Meir Simcha. Next time you're at his kever, you'll ask all your questions to Rav Meir Simcha. But Rav Osai, you don't know how you destroy the geschmack of learning. Enjoy the Torah. Enjoy it. What does it mean? Shnei goyim vivitnech. And there are deep philosophical meanings over here. What Hashem is trying to convey to Rivka is it's not all evil. And this is a beautiful message about Chassidei Umas HaOlam. That Rivka is going to be a vehicle of Tov on both sides. Not only on Yaakov's side. That's upgarim. That's beyond question. But even on Esav's side. So again, let's just review before we go to the next piece, which is mind-boggling, the three pieces that we've seen so far. The first piece explains two things. Number one, why does Yitzchak feel compelled to pray on behalf of Rivka? The Rashbam doesn't give us a clue. And the answer of Rav Simcha is because he already had a transmission from Avraham Avinu. Apparently, at the moment that he married Rivka, Avraham Avinu said, don't worry, eventually you'll have children. But he thought it would be from another wife. And he wanted desperately that she, Rivka, would be the mother of his children and continue the legacy and the generations of Klal Yisrael. And number two, Rav Meir Simcha wants to understand, why is it that Yitzchak is afraid that he'll be killed? After all, if he has Avtocha that he's going to be the father of many generations, why should he be afraid that Melech Grar is going to kill him? That's impossible. He already had a Nevuah, and this Nevuah is Eini Yochel Lishtanos. And the answer is because he felt that it's possible that Nevuah be fulfilled through his children, because by the time he gets to Grar, he's already the father of children. Mm-hmm. The second major piece of Rav Meir Simcha is a gematria. Rav Meir Simcha calculates that the amount of years that Rivka is an akara is equal to the word hu, hey vav aleph, which means 12 years. And the third piece is that God comes to console her by telling her that she's not giving birth to total evil on the side of Esav, but even within Esav there are the seeds of good. Now we get to the fourth piece. Rav Meir Simcha, based on the Ibn Ezra, points out that there are two words that are missing in the Torah. And he wants to know why the Torah omitted them. So let's open up to the Chumash. We started looking at this parasha of Yitzchak going down to Gror. And the Torah says, this is Perek Chavav Pasuk Zayin, and this you'll see on page 128. The Torah says that Vayishalu Anshei HaMakom LeIshto VaYomer Achosi Hi. So he fabricates the truth and he says that this woman is my sister. Ki arele mar ishti. He doesn't want to confess that it's his wife. Pen yarguni anshei ha-makom al Rivka. Now, what is pen yarguni? Pen yarguni is a discussion that Yitzchak is having with himself. Not that Yitzchak is schizophrenic, but he's saying to himself, I can't admit, I can't tell the truth that she's my wife because they might kill me. So the Ibn Ezra already points out that the pasuk is very strange. It should have said, for clarity purposes, ki amar pen yarguni, meaning that he said to himself. So if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra, I don't have time to do that now. The Ibn Ezra points out that there are other psukim in which you'll see the words ki amar, when a person is talking to himself. He's thinking out loud, so to speak. So Meir Simcha wants to answer the question of Ibn Ezra. He says the following. Now, why do I love this piece? Because here's where a Lithuanian gadol is going to tell you that based on his knowledge of Torah and Halacha and Tshuvas, he can interpret the Torah. He can answer a question in the Torah. The Rama writes in a tshuva based on a sugya in, I think it's in Masechta Gittin, I'm not sure, I'll come back to that wherever the Gemara is. I don't have time now to discuss that. The Gemara says the following. There's a halacha called, again I'll just say it, and I'll, because again we could spend a lot of time, it's called Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura. What that means is, I'll give you a classical case. If a man slaughters an animal and then he declares that the shechita was psula, so he's not allowed to eat from that animal. That's called shavya nafshi chaticha disura. Now, if a man makes a public declaration and he does not rescind it within 30 days, then that is proof positive, says the sugya, that what he said is absolutely binding, at least as far as himself is concerned, and we apply and activate the rule of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disur. So the Rama, who lived 5 centuries ago, writes a tshuva. He doesn't understand how Yitzchak, according to Halacha, is allowed to have relationships with his wife Rivka. Why? Because Yitzchak is in Gror for 30 days. And he made a statement, a declaration publicly, Achosihi, she's my sister. Says the Rama, once you say about a woman that she's your sister, that's called Muchzak B'Shloshim Yom, and Halacha says you can never be married to that woman, even if she's not your sister. Because that's how Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura work. So for example, it could be that from this shechita, everyone in the world is allowed to eat the meat except for me, because I made a statement that the shechita was a shechita psula.
Could there be a difference where Yitzchak himself did not believe she was a sister? Whereas the person,
irrelevant.
The person making the shechita actually believes it's possible.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Even if you don't believe what you say, once you make that declaration, it's binding.
Isn't it enough?
That's the Rabbah's cash.
Isn't there
fascinating cash?
Is there a halacha of a masla? In other words,
excellent. Yeah. That's what this piece is all about, Rabbi Goldschmidt. This whole piece is about a concept called a masla. Okay, so here's the case, Rabbi Osai. A man wants to have a relationship with his wife, and she says, "No, I'm a nida."
Right.
So that's called shavya nafshi chaticha disur. Unless the Gemara says in Ksuba, she gives it a masla. Which means she explains to us in a way that Beis Din will accept what she explains, why she made that statement and she didn't mean it. And she says, I wasn't feeling well, I wasn't up to it, and therefore I said to my husband, I'm a nida. But I never meant it, and it was not true. That's called a masla. Comes along Rav Meir Simcha, and he wants to answer the Rabbah's kasha based on a masla. Take a look. He says, Yesh lomar, dehiksha ramah b'tshuva, kevan shehichzik es atzmo, shloshim yom lachoso, because the pasuk says, ki archu yomim, Chazal say, archu yomim means 30 days, so for 30 days he's up there in Gerar. Now, again, the Ramah's question is based on one premise, and that is that Ben Noach is not allowed to marry his sister. For that, you have to learn Masechta Sanhedrin about the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But we're going according to that Mandi Omer. L'Mandi Omer Ben Noach Osir Bachoso. Again, this is all Rameh Simcha L'Shitoso. If you remember what we discussed 2 weeks ago, that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu had the status of a Ben Noach.
Right.
And therefore, you have to assume here in the Ramah's frame of reference that Yitzchak as a Ben Noach was enjoined from having a relationship with his sister.
How do we know the 30 days in Gerar?
Because the pasuk says ki archu la hayomim. That's pasuk Ches. Take a look over here. I don't have time for this because we're about to end. I just want to get to the punchline.
Yeah.
But take a look. V'aikar. Ha'ikar means this is my answer to the Ramah. Keep in mind, you're talking 4 centuries after the Ramah till somebody had the chutzpah to come up with an answer to the Ramah's question. He says, this is an amasla. The afal gav de b'chol mokom omru malkin al chazokos. He says the following. Even though, based on a chazokah, which means a person makes a statement and he doesn't change his statement for 30 days, that's called a chazokah, we will give malchus. That means the Torah recognizes this chazokah to such an extent he'll get 39 lashes if he violates his statement, his declaration.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's something called an amasla de muchach. De muchach means that circumstantial evidence are so clear that the person said it and he didn't mean it. L'mishi yodea yofi Rivka, it was public knowledge that Rivka was a beautiful woman. That's number one. Number two, it was public knowledge that Derech Anshei HaMokom HaPrutzim, here we're turning to the next side, Barayos, that was a place where they were very careless about Arayos. They lived a life of immorality.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, it was known that Derech Yitzchak was a disciple of his father. And whatever his father did, he imitated his father.
Mm-hmm.
There are many proofs to that. Ashalomad me Avram. Now Avram Avinu, when he goes down to Mitzrayim, he tells Avimelech Ahol Gansa by Baba Maisa that Sarah is my sister. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Havi umdena gluya umefursemes. This makes it into an amasla muchach. Because circumstantial evidence clearly indicates that he only made this statement out of yira, out of fear, and it was all a fabrication of the truth. Now again, what was Rameir Simcha's question, which was the Ibn Ezra's question? Why doesn't it say ki amar? Why were those two words omitted? Says Rameir Simcha, inyan kilu omer bi'atzmo pen yarguni. It wasn't a public statement, meaning a binding statement which with a chazaka and the Rabbah's kasha, but l'chol ha-mizboneinu ma'ayin bazeh, anyone who would really analyze the situation with all the circumstantial evidence A, B, and C, davar tzovech v'yomed, it cries out at you that the reason why he said this is pen yarguni l'chein nishmat milas ki amar l'hor shelo ha-yitzarch lomar zos. In other words, when the Torah says ki amar, it means that we only know this because of his statement.
Mm-hmm.
When the Torah omits the words ki amar, it means we have independent knowledge to establish the truth of something. The Torah here went out of its way to answer the Ramah's kasha by omitting the words ki amar to tell us that we have independent source for knowing that he was afraid that he would be killed, that he was only fabricating this lie in order to save his skin.
Very nice.
Mamish gorgeous.
Really nice.
And Rabos, I have to tell you, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of the Meshech Chochma on Parshas Toldos. We have covered about, shall I say, 10%, if I wouldn't be exaggerating. What can I tell you? Again, you can sit here and criticize, which is, that's what, see, I learned by Rav Soloveitchik. So what we learned from Rav Soloveitchik is that creativity is so critical. It is the essence of Torah. You can sit back, and after someone gives you the most original explanation, you can ask him kashas. Okay, now the ball is in your court. Either you answer those questions or you reject the whole thesis. But don't reject the creativity of it.
No, I wasn't rejecting it.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying, that's what's great about learning Rabbi Meir Simcha, is that just appreciate how he put so many pieces together. Mm-hmm. The absolute incredible knowledge. His knowledge of the psukim, his knowledge of the commentaries, his knowledge of Shas, of Poskim, of Gematrios. Mm-hmm. Just weaving together so many different things. So there are many times that I walked out of the Rav Shin, I had a kasha. But it didn't mean that I enjoyed the Torah any less because I had a kasha.
Right.
And if I found the keteretz of the kasha, good. If I didn't, so in my mind the Rav was wrong. But who cares if the Rav was wrong? Torah is creative. Elu v'elu. Beis Shammai could say X and Beis Hillel could say Y, and they're both telling you the emes. And I'm absolutely convinced that every piece that we learn tonight is emes. From, again, the perspective, the broader perspective of what Torah is all about. Okay, then Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. Sure. Wish everyone
so next week, 7:30?
7:30 next week.
Okay.
8:30 we'll have...
I meant to give you the impression that I could only come here.
Okay.
I just want to come whenever you do the Shabbat.
Okay. So it could be that what happened is, Murray, that Rabbi Goldschein was in Chutz Laretz, and since you told me you prefer 8:30, so I switched over to 8:30.
Okay.
But now that we're all on board for 7:30, we're good.
You have to just let your other group
We're good to go.